There is nothing worse than untapped potential. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely the place for you. Welcome to the Unstuck Podcast, everybody. I'm Lichelle Weamy, your host, and today we get a chance to talk to Bianca Johnson. You guys, she is a transformational and breakthrough coach, and I love that that's what she kind of calls herself because she gives us the idea of exactly what she is going to do for us and really giving us that breakthrough and that transformation. And Bianca and I have had the most amazing conversations before, and I cannot wait for you guys to get a chance to know her and to hear from her and all of the amazing ways that she's helping people. So Bianca, thank you so much for popping in today.
Yes, thanks so much for allowing me the space to be here.
Yes. Okay. So I would love for you to tell our audience a little bit more about what it is that you do and how you help people.
So I realized recently that I was calling myself, you know, a coach. And then I was like meeting with more coaches in the industry and realizing that what I do is like not at all like what anything that anyone else does. So it's kind of hard to verbalize for people who have never experienced it before. But a lot of what I do with people is work on the subconscious mind. So 95% of what we're thinking, doing, feeling, et cetera, is coming from the subconscious. And so there's little sneaky ways that our subconscious mind is causing us to self-sabotage, to people-please, to get stuck in tendencies like perfectionism and all sorts of things like that. We're overworking, we're burning ourselves out, we're not making any forward progress, and we're just like frustrated and overwhelmed and can't, you know, progress forward. Well, a lot of this is happening because of what's going on underneath the surface. From the time that we're born all the way through our adult lives, we develop these different beliefs about ourselves and about the world around us that either make it really easy to do work and make money and to feel valuable and to have successful relationships, or these beliefs do the exact opposite and make it very difficult for us to do those types of things. So what I specifically do is I help people identify what beliefs are causing them to be stuck and stagnant in their lives. And I help them bring them up to the surface, identify the core memories associated with these beliefs. And then we work on reworking and rewriting them so that there's new and empowering beliefs that help us then show up in the world as we desire to be as the best version of ourselves and really create the lives that we're desiring to live.
I love that so much because, you know, there's so much power in the subconscious. Just like you said, 95% of our thoughts actually are running on autopilot within our subconscious. And when we consider that, there's things that we're doing that we don't even realize that we're doing that could be sabotaging our success. And that awareness of that and allowing ourselves to be able to reprogram or rewrite those scripts is such a powerful step to start moving in the right direction and get unstuck. And so I just love that you have that passion, just like I do, so I can nerd out about this stuff all day long. But I would love to know, how is it that you decided to get into this line of work? Tell us a little bit about your journey.
So it's very interesting. So it goes back quite a ways. When I was in like high school, I was really badly struggling with like depression and disordered eating and just like these god awful abusive relationships and just like things were not going very well for me. And I was like, you know, I think I want to get into psychology. I think I want to be like a counselor and, you know, start to see like what that's about. Maybe I can figure myself out and then help other people too. And so I went to school for psych. And in my final semester as a psych student, I learned about the mind-body-spirit connection. And this for me was like a total 180 moment because we're doing these like self-evaluations. And I love telling the story because it's so funny to me. And I literally failed every category, like physically failed, mentally failed, emotionally, spiritually, just completely failed. And I was like, okay, well, if this is what's going on, we can either keep going down this path or we can try to do something about it. And so at the time I had discovered yoga and I started practicing yoga like a couple of times a day. And it started out actually with these two YouTube videos. One was called Clear Your Mind and the other one was called Get Happy. And they were just like 5-10 minutes each. So it was always like, I'd wake up in the morning, clear my mind, get happy. And then like something stressful would happen in my day, clear your mind, get happy. It was like becoming like my mantra essentially.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Being okay. So after I graduated with my degree, I was like, well, I don't want to go on and be a therapist and I don't know what I'm going to do. I applied to the Disney college program at the last minute, got denied. I'm like, I have no idea like what's next.
Yeah.
And the opportunity to get certified in yoga came up and I was like, okay, this seems like a very natural, logical mm-hmm. next step. Like,
yeah,
Mila, I really want to help people. So I opened a yoga studio. And as I was running my yoga studio, it was like every limiting belief I ever had about myself and about the world around me just was forced to come to a head, because it was like I wasn't feeling good enough about myself. So I was always trying to be a certain type of yoga teacher to please the masses, right? Like, mm-hmm. don't say this because it might be too weird or too outside the box or people might not agree. Don't teach that type of class because yoga teachers don't really do that. They do this instead. You know, mm-hmm. always like, I had this conversation with my dad after I closed the studio. Is he would text me and he'd be like, hey, do you have class tonight? And I'd be like, yeah. How many people do you have? And every time it was such a triggering conversation for me, because I always mm-hmm. needed more students. I always needed to be making more money. And I never felt like I was doing enough. I never felt like I had enough and all of this. And I was like, this just doesn't make sense. I've got full yeah. classes. I've got this big community. I'm doing this work that I'm really passionate about that really helped me. Why does everything feel so bad? Like my depression was at its worst at the time. I'm like, there's got to be something. Like, there's got to be something to this. Like,
yeah. You
know, there's some reason that this is the way it is. And then it's so funny because I kind of like believe a lot in like divine timing and that everything happens yeah. when it's meant to. And
yep.
as I'm struggling with all of this, like I really thought I found my purpose. I really thought I had the career that I was going to do the rest of my life. Like I really thought that that was it.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I had this desire to speak and I had this desire to write a book. And one of my students who was a life coach was like, well, why don't you do it? And I was like, because I'm 24 years old and I already chose my career and maybe in the next life is what I said. And I'm like, if that's not a limiting belief, I don't know what is. Like 24 years old, you have the opportunity, or any age, you have the opportunity to say,
right.
this isn't what I want anymore. I'm going to do something. So I just happened to find this like program, like on women's empowerment. And I took the program and I was like, limiting beliefs? What are these?
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is everything. This is how I'm showing up in my business. This is how I'm showing up in my relationships, both professional and personal. This is how it's impacting the care I'm giving to myself, whether it's the mm-hmm. food I'm eating or the exercise I'm doing or whatever. This is literally causing chaos, these little under the surface subconscious
yeah.
causing chaos in every single area of my life. This is why I'm not happy. This is why I'm so unfulfilled. This like it was like the biggest breakthrough.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how it started. I started taking different like courses and programs and things mm-hmm. like that, and figuring out where these exist, why they exist, and how we rewrite them, and then just sharing that wisdom and that experience from there.
I love your vulnerability too, Bianca, because I think that from the outside, and we've talked about this before, like from the outside, you know, you had all of the mental knowledge with a degree in psych, right? So you understood how the brain worked and our mind worked. You also now had the spiritual connection and the body connection with the yoga. And so you were essentially a professional mind, body, spirit person. However, you were finding burnout, you were finding yourself struggling. And so I think that what that does is it sends us all a powerful message that we don't need to shame ourselves for falling into being stuck. Because even if you are given all of the tools that you need, it still can happen. And the limiting beliefs and the subconscious sabotaging that we can do is something that can be so powerful that even people that have all of these tools, like Bianca did, can still find themselves in situations that continue to show up in their lives. And until we acknowledge them and address them and start to work on them, they're going to continue to follow you no matter, you know, how many books or classes or degrees or whatever you have, don't you think?
Yeah. And I think you raise an excellent point there, is that you can take, it's kind of a never ending journey, right? Like even
yeah.
today, being like several years into this work, like I've been doing retreats on this, I've done coaching on this, I've done all sorts of things. I've done this work personally yeah. myself. It still shows up. So there's no like point where you're like, oh, all of a sudden I have the perfect mindset and I'm totally aligned and have all these empowering beliefs. You know, even just this week, I was like struggling, like didn't want to show up on my own podcast, didn't want to go to the gym, didn't want to do my meditation practice, didn't want to do any of it.
Yeah.
And I kind of rode that wave for like the day that I was feeling so down. And then by the next day, as I was starting to lift out of it, I'm like, okay, let's journal on this, find out what's really going on underneath the surface. Mm-hmm. Now let's tap on this. Now that I have the awareness, tap, like, I don't know if your audience is familiar with journaling.
Go ahead and explain, because I don't think we've talked, I know what it is, but I don't know if we've talked about it a lot on the show. So why don't you go ahead and explain that?
So journaling, everyone is pretty familiar with, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Self-explanatory. But EFT tapping is a form of like acupressure fused with talk therapy. And basically all of these beliefs that we have in our mind are wired together by repetition and strong emotion, right? So when you're like, I can't believe this happened to me, I can't believe I said that stupid thing, and you know, it's that thing that keeps you up at night that's just driving you nuts. When that's happening, you're basically rewiring the brain to strengthen these neural pathways so that these thoughts happen quicker and more automatic and, you know, more on autopilot essentially. And that's what's causing us to, you know, how we think is how we feel is how we act. You know, it all just kind of runs into each other.
Absolutely.
So if T does, is it helps us to process through those thoughts and emotions while also putting a break in the patterning. And very fascinating, there was a study done on the effectiveness of EFT tapping compared to CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, which is a very common form of talk therapy. Mm-hmm. And EFT for certain conditions was found to be more effective because you're not just talking about it and repeating the same stories, you're actually reworking and rewiring them. So it's a very fascinating process. There's lots of different ways that people do tapping. You know, there's like the main points in the body, but then there's shortened versions, and there's even like a kind of a sneaky point on your hand that you can do at, you know, Christmas dinner or in line at the bank, whenever you need that, you know, kind of that moment to, you know, reconnect and break through whatever it is you're going through. So it's a great tool to help you not just in like those deep moments of processing, but then in those every little, those everyday little like anxieties or stresses or whatever it is that shows up for you.
I love that. And so you have tools that both you use to dive in deep, but also to just continue the practice throughout the day when you need them. Because even though, again, you're considered an expert and a professional, you still have to implement the things that you ask other people to do. And I love that, because I think sometimes we put experts on a pedestal, right? And we think that they have it all figured out and they don't ever have to deal with any of the stuff that the rest of us still are dealing with. And I love that. And one of the things I also heard you say is that you gave yourself the permission to feel what you needed to feel for that day. But you also, you know, took yourself to the next step and said, okay, the next day I need to start doing something, because you can't stay in that state forever. So you allowed yourself the permission to feel, and then the next day you're like, okay, let's figure this out. And I love that, because it's solution oriented, it's action oriented. And you guys, the best way for us to get unstuck is to take a step. And when we feel stuck, it's because we are we're having the awareness that we're not wanting to be anymore. We want something different. And so the best way to do that is to start to get yourself into action. So Bianca, I just love the fact that you were able to kind of give us a real life example of what that looks like inside of your everyday. You guys, what I'm going to do next is I'm going to ask Bianca all about ways that she uses both with her clients and herself to start to reprogram those subconscious thoughts so that we can start to get from where we are to where we want to be. But first, I can't wait to tell you about something that I have been working on with my team. You guys, I cannot wait to bring you more connection, more intimacy, more guidance, all of the things within the Better Club and the Unstuck podcast and all the things. So I can't wait to tell you all about it. So listen up, and then we'll be right back, and we're going to talk to Bianca about ways that we can start to implement today to get our subconscious and our limiting beliefs back in check. All right, guys, we'll see you in a sec. Hey, Lachelle here, and I just got to ask you, do you ever listen to podcasts or special training from gurus who are telling you exactly what to do, but you still have questions? Wouldn't it be amazing if you actually could ask questions to the people who are presenting to give you your personalized answer to how you can get into action and apply it to your unique situation? That is exactly why I created the Better Club Elite, which is a very special, very exclusive monthly membership that gives you access to those question and answer sessions that are going to get you into action and get you all lined up with everything that you need to start being better, doing better, and having better in life and in business. The support, the answers, and everything that you need to get you into action. So let's go. All right. So Bianca, this has been amazing. And one of the things that I love about our conversation now at this point is we can start to look towards the future and we can start to utilize not only your own, you know, experience and your story, but also things, tips, tricks, homework, essentially, that you could give us to start to think about ways that we can start to address and perhaps even start to reprogram those limiting beliefs. So what would you tell us to be like a first step, I guess, if you're finding that you're stuck and you don't even know what to do next?
So I think the first step is to identify where it is you feel stuck and what the root is to that. So let's say you're feeling stuck in your career. There's kind of like a few guiding questions that I use to like ask myself, like, if I'm feeling stuck in my work, well, what is causing me to feel this way? What do I make this mean about myself? What is my biggest fear about what happens next if I stay in this space? What's the worst thing about being in this space? And just starting to identify what it is that's, you know, kind of the root of it. And I used to think that the root of it was all beliefs about ourselves. Like, because a lot of limiting beliefs I encounter with myself and with others is either the belief that we're not good enough or we're not important or we're not worthy or deserving, not capable, you know, something about ourselves.
Yes.
Sometimes there's a belief about the outside world, right? Like maybe it's not safe to be seen. You know, if you're working on like growing a podcast or on social media or something, maybe the belief is it's not safe to be seen. Or maybe the belief is about money. Like if I earn this money, people are going to think that I'm filthy rich and I'm greedy and this and that. So there's lots of different beliefs. So it's just identifying what it is that you believe about yourself or about the world that's causing you to be in this situation and this stagnancy. Then once you identify it, then that's where I use the EFT tapping, you know. And so as you're going through your tapping points, it might look something like, even though I have this belief, I deeply love and accept myself. I know how powerful my work is. You know, money is valuable and it's just an exchange of energy. It doesn't mean anything about me. And whatever it is, as you're going through the whole tapping point and you start to rework and rewire that. And then I love to have my clients think about what it is that the highest and best version of themselves is like. What does a day in their life look like? How do they think? How do they speak? How do they act? Who do they spend time with? What do they do in their time? Things like that. And this is a very important part of the process because I think mindset work has become very popular over the last several weeks, years. Like having a positive mindset and, you know, thinking positively and having positive affirmations and mantras and things like that.
Yeah.
It's all in it. Incredibly important part of the process, but it goes a step further into the embodiment of that.
Yes.
Because you can believe that you're capable. You can believe that you're worthy of it. But if you aren't becoming the version of yourself that's actually doing the work to make it happen, it'll never come into form. So starting to make that list, the version of myself that has the most success or has the successful relationship or is very fit and healthy and well, whatever your goal is, what do? Okay, well, they go to bed at this time and they don't spend as much time on social media and instead they read more books and whatever it is, just make that list. And once you have that list, start taking action on those things every single day. It's very easy for us to think like, oh, once I have the, you know, six-figure business or seven-figure business, it'll be easier to cut out time to, you know, spend with my partner. Or it'll be easier to make time to go to the gym or whatever it is.
Yeah.
If that version of yourself that is successful and has it all is doing that, then you have to start doing that. And you have to continue reworking your mindset to believe that that's possible for you. And so what that looks like is I use affirmations that I record and I'll play as I'm going to sleep. As we start to fall asleep, our conscious mind goes to rest, but our subconscious is still very awake, which is why we dream. And so by playing affirmations at night, when you're starting to fall asleep, your mind is very suggestible. Your conscious mind isn't interrupting, because a lot of times when we start to use affirmations and stuff, our conscious mind will be like, that's not true. If your mantra is, what I do is enough, who I am enough, your conscious mind is like, well, that's not right. Like, we have to do this, 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 this in order to prove that and validate it.
Yeah.
So you kind of take that barrier out of the way by using the affirmations at night when you're sleeping. You get to program them directly into the subconscious mind without your conscious kind of stepping up and saying, I don't think so.
Yeah.
And then continuing to, whenever things come up, asking yourself those questions, getting to the root of it. And then once you dig on those beliefs, starting to tap through them and rewrite them, and then thinking about that ideal version of yourself on the other side of whatever it is that you're going through, noticing what they do, how they act, how they think, how they speak, and starting to take those actions. And so it just continues to be a cycle and a process. And I actually want to circle back to something we were talking about earlier, where you were saying that, you know, I'm this expert, right? But that I'm still going through this stuff in my own life. I'm still working through this. And when I used to teach yoga, there was this this teacher who made this comment that it's like, I forget exactly how it goes, but it's like, we're both students. I've just taken a few more classes, you know? And so it's like, just because I'm at this point where I have some of it figured out and some of it reworked and some of it improved doesn't mean that, oh, for the rest of my life, everything's just fine. It doesn't mean that there's going to be more triggers or situations or things coming up. It doesn't mean I'll never take another course or program or read another book again, because there's always another level. And I think that's the beautiful thing about the human experience, is that we can always peel back more of those layers and continue to grow and change and evolve to reach that next level, whatever it is for us.
I love that so much. And one of the things that I embody myself as well is not what you want to accomplish, it's who you want to become. And that person can, just like you said, you can be becoming that person every single day in the way that we think, the way that we feel, the way that we do. And as we are doing those things every single day, we will naturally just start becoming the person that we desire to. And the outcome is going to be the gravy, right? The outcome is going to just present itself because we are becoming the type of person that brings that life into fruition. And so I love that. And you had mentioned the word trigger a minute ago, and I wanted to touch on that because I think that for us to be able to understand what a trigger is and what that does is important. So can you talk about that a little bit?
So triggers are basically anything in our external world that causes us to have some sort of negative emotional experience. And this doesn't have to be a bad thing. Like I you know, think of it as like, you know, when you're, if you are an entrepreneur and you, you know, share something online and somebody comments something negative on it, right? Or maybe you have this expectation that your program is going to sell out and it doesn't, and you're feeling upset about it, right? Those are triggers. It's anything that, it can be something your partner says after a long day at work. It can be, you know, pretty much anything. It's something that causes negative emotion response. And by negative, I don't mean bad or wrong. It's just scientifically, emotions have a different vibration, just like the sound of our voice and the music we listen to and everything else. And one of them has a negative charge, one of them has a positive charge, just like the ends of a battery. It doesn't mean you should resist it, avoid it, anything. That's just scientifically what it is. And so when it causes this negative emotion, it's just a sign that there's something unhealed within you that's causing you to feel this way. Because if you were totally confident with yourself and felt enough in yourself and believed in the work that you do, then when somebody makes a negative comment, you can look at that and go, I'm not going to choose to engage with this, right? When it causes that emotional response, there's some part of you that believes this is true, or else it wouldn't be a situation for you at all. Or it's like, or it's what the situation makes you feel. So another example, just like shifting to the relationship conversation. If your partner says, hey, we're not going to have dinner tonight. I'm going to go out with some friends tonight. And you feel upset about that. Well, what is it? Maybe it's that sense of loneliness. Maybe it's a feeling of abandonment. Maybe it's, you know, disappointment, you know, whatever that is for you. And like understanding why that's taking place. Is your partner truly abandoning you by going to dinner with friends instead? Probably not, but it might feel that way. And then understanding why it feels that way. Right. So this is where some of those identifying those core memories, it can be valuable too, because, you know, I worked with a client once who just felt like she couldn't depend on other people. She felt like she couldn't, you know, ask other people for help or support or anything like this.
Right.
And when we dug on her core memory, and some of the core memories are so silly, but when we got to her core memory, she was like snowmobiling in the wintertime with her family, and she fell off the back of the snowmobile and they didn't notice right away and they kept driving, and she was like, oh my God, I'm alone. They're not coming back for me. I'm going to have to figure this out by myself. And just having one of those powerful experiences,
that's
very emotional, causes us to carry those beliefs longer. And so as she's able to go back and look at that situation, she's like, I understand why little me felt that way, but that's not what happened. I mean, that's not the truth of the situation.
Right.
By identifying what's true instead, and then using those tools like our affirmations or our tapping or whatever to start to rework and rewrite it so that the next time something like this comes up, we can see the situation as it is versus as we interpret it.
Right. And, you know, you said that she had this memory, and I have done work similar to this as well. And there are memories that's like, my little tiny brain took the context of this and blew it up into this giant solid meaning in which I apply to all of these other things in my life. But really, you know, we didn't have the context back then to really understand. And so here we are measuring all of these life experiences as adults from this point of view of a child who's hurting in some way, right? And I'm finding, and I'm going to ask you this too, that when you have that one, let's just say that one core memory of the example that you gave us, I'm guessing that it can present itself in many different ways. So every, like a lot of different things can trigger that exact same memory. And so you've applied meaning from that one memory to many different things in your life. Does that sound accurate?
Yeah, no, that's completely accurate. Because like I said, it's like, it's these situations from early childhood that cause these limiting beliefs about ourselves and the world to take place. And then it's those beliefs that causes how we show up in our current lives and relationships, careers, and our life purpose and our health and wellness journey, et cetera. And so if you had an experience where, let's say, we'll go with money because it's always a hot topic for people.
Let's
say you grew up in a family where it's like always saving, always hoarding, you know, money is hard to get, money is the root of all evil. You have all of these kind of beliefs. And maybe there's a specific situation where you have this core memory of like being six years old and mom and dad are fighting over the bills or something. And you're like, wow, money really is, it is bad. It's causing this turmoil to happen. Well, your mind keeps track of everything. It's like a big giant filing cabinet, and it might be way in the back of the filing cabinet, but it's still there. So as you like go through life, it's like maybe you're not, you're self-sabotaging as you're going for that promotion, or maybe you're not investing your money in the best ways, or maybe you're hoarding your money and not allowing yourself to enjoy it, or maybe you have a hard time bringing in money at all for whatever reason because of this one situation several decades ago that has been like a story, the story of your life essentially.
Right That's so powerful. And one of the things that I think is would be interesting to know from your experience is what kind of expectations we can have. So do you find that once you identify a core memory like that and possible triggers that continue to come up in your life, do you think it's possible to completely abolish that? Or do you find that you just have a faster awareness and a faster work through that when it pops up? I would love to just know what we can expect.
I think that's very complex. And the reason that I think that is because let's say you have one single situation when you're growing up that causes you to have a specific feeling or belief about yourself. It might be easy to rework and rewire that one situation, but then you know, 2 weeks go by and you find yourself triggered and you find that that's still the core belief. And it's like, well, what the heck? I worked through this. Why am I back? It's because our brain doesn't generally have one memory. It's usually a series. So for my own life, there was like my best friend all through elementary school. When I went to like her first birthday party, they were doing makeup. And my mom was like, Bianca's not allowed to do the makeup. And so I felt like I was on the outside and I didn't fit in and things like that. And then later in elementary school, I made a new friend and my best friend didn't want to be friends with me anymore because of my new friend. And so I felt like, again, like I wasn't accepted and I, you know, was on the outside.
Yeah.
And then there were several more situations without sparing you all of the details, you know, going forward. But there were a ton more situations going forward of friendships that fell apart or feeling like I was on the outside. It can be something as silly as like you're in gym class and they're picking teams for softball and you're the last person to be picked. But these things are cumulative and they're like, they're snowballs. So it's like, if you have one or two core memories that have a specific belief to happen, it might be a lot easier than if you have 20 core memories that all are assigned to the same.
Right.
Then it's like layers of an onion where you're always just
the layer. Absolutely. And I think that there's a little bit of grace that we have to give ourselves, because I think that sometimes, and this is just maybe me, but when I have a belief about something, I will look for other things to validate that belief. Right? So if I think that I'm not worthy, I will notice things in my life that validate that feeling versus looking for things all around me that validate that I am worthy. And so we almost have a bias in our memories when it comes to the way that we perceive ourselves. And I love the fact that there's hope, right? That we can start to rewire and rethink and retrain our brains in order to help us process these things, that we're looking for the good, the worthiness examples versus always concentrating on the things that validate the negative things, right?
So our brain is designed to do that. It wants to be validated. So like if you believe that you're unworthy, your brain will pick out every situation in your life that just proves that. If you believe that wealth is bad, you're going to recognize every situation in your life where money has caused problems. Mm-hmm. And our brain it's just for some odd reason, that's how humans were designed. But having the awareness that's how our brain works kind of puts the power back in our hands, because we can go, okay, if I'm on autopilot, this is the outcome I can almost be certain of.
Yeah.
If I'm on autopilot and I'm choosing consciously to do something different, I can probably change the outcome. And so for people who are struggling with a belief in that way, where you're seeking and searching for all of the ways, what you can do is ask yourself the question, what would I rather believe instead? Maybe the belief is that I'm completely loved, accepted, validated, and worthy. Maybe it's I'm good enough as I am. Maybe it's money is easy. Maybe whatever it is, what would you rather believe instead? And then once you acknowledge what it is you'd rather believe instead, make a full list of all the reasons that that's true. Because then you're going to start training your brain to start looking externally for this other belief rather than the old belief.
Similar,
you know, gratitude has been more and more popular over the last, like gratitude practices, things like that have been more and more popular over the last several years. It's the same kind of concept. If you're showing up every day in your life, like my marriage stinks and I hate my job and I'm overweight and, you know, all these stories about yourself, your brain's going to go, oh, we focus on this a lot, which means it's very important. And we're going to have to find all of the other things just to prove and validate.
Yes.
When you start practicing gratitude and you start appreciating things in your life, you get to look around and your brain goes, oh, all these wonderful things is what's important. We're going to start picking up on more and more of these. And so our brain actually has a filter called the reticular activating system, which we probably don't have too much time to dive into that. But if you are interested, I would look that up. Also known as RAS, R-A-S. And it's basically our brain's filter. And it's how we, because at any point in time, there's a million bits of information coming into your awareness. You're listening to this, there's sights around wherever you are right now. You have clothing touching your skin that you don't even feel because your brain goes, this isn't important. I don't need to focus on this.
Right.
Our brain's doing the same thing with situations in our life. And so if you're focusing on the negative things in your life, your brain's going, oh, these are the important things that we need to choose to focus on.
Yes.
So,
oh my goodness.
That's basically by making that list or by practicing gratitude or something like that, you start to consciously shift the focus and then it becomes more automatic, a lot easier to pick up on those things.
I love that so much. You and I could talk about this, I think, all day long. We both have a very similar passion for really just helping people get out of their own way, right? That if we want to see people not give up on themselves and to be able to walk into their potential. And I just thank you so much for your heart. Is there anything that we haven't had a chance to talk about that we definitely need to address quick before we pop off?
The one thing I would just love to leave with everybody listening today is just to remember, as you said earlier, to give yourself grace, to be compassionate with yourself. Mm-hmm. As you start doing this work, it's very easy to think, well, I've done this mindset work, or I've done this healing work, or I've done this, that, the other. I shouldn't be having these negative thoughts right now, or I shouldn't be acting this way right now, or I shouldn't have this negative emotion. The truth is, you should be having those things because that's your lived experience and that's how it's meant to be. But so as those things come up, they're just, it's just an opportunity. It's like a little voice whispering to you, hey, maybe if you look a little bit deeper here, there's something else we can work with. And so letting it can be fun and it can be grateful. Like yes. Now when I get triggered, rather than waiting until the next morning for my like morning ritual to work through it, I'll work through it on the spot. When something comes up, I'm grateful. Like, I'm so glad I get to work through this rather than allowing it to continue controlling me. So really just allowing your perspective of your situation and of yourself to be a positive one, to be a gentle one, and know that the work is never done. And so don't expect yourself to be perfect, because mm-hmm. perfection's unrealistic and you're good enough in every aspect of the journey.
I love that so much. And one of the things that I always ask my guests to do is to leave our audience with a question that they can think about or ponder that's going to help them get from where they are to where they want to be. So what would you ask our audience to think about?
If you fully and truly and 100% believed in your worthiness, believed in your enoughness, believed that anything in your life was possible for you, what would that look like? And if you were living that, what would you be doing? What would you be saying? What would you be thinking? And start to consider that, because, you know, it's easy to look at people online who've got it all figured out. Like, oh yeah, if I was that confident, maybe I'd write that book. Or if I was that important, then I would speak. You are that important. You are that valuable. You are good enough and worthy and exactly who you are. So start thinking about what actions you can take to bring you towards the life of your dreams, because you're destined for it.
Oh, I love that so much. You guys, I hope that you got as much out of this as I did. Bianca, thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom and your experience and vulnerability with us. And you guys, if you haven't already, make sure that you take a quick screenshot of this and put in your stories. Let everybody know how much you loved your conversation with Bianca so that we get a chance to get the word out. I will make sure that she has all of the things that you guys need to follow her inside of the show notes. So all of the ways to follow her journey, to work with her, all the things. And I hope that you guys all have an amazing rest of your day. Let's continue to be better, do better, and have better. Bye, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Untucked Podcast. I'm so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, the Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.